Talking today with Mike Schulte, CEO, of course, Oklahoma Wheat Commission. It's harvest season, Mike, and I know that, that's got a lot of wheat producers excited this year, especially with a much more normal crop compared to last year's drought disaster. What are you hearing as you talk to folks down in the southwestern part of the state?
Well, you know, Ron, this is the earliest harvest that has ever been seen is what I'm hearing from a lot of producers. Thursday, May 3rd for the first load of wheat to be hauled into the state, really almost a month ahead of schedule. So completely different situation from that scenario. But when talking to producers in the far southwest part of the state, we had seen wheat with test weights, 56 pounds, 60 pounds reported. We saw some of the lower test weights. We feel like that probably was because that was a drought stress to the plants in that area when that plant was heading out in March. Or pollinating, maybe trying to have its grain field needing its maximum water potential at that point in time, didn't get it. And so they have probably smaller grain size, and that probably has impacted some of the test weight down there. I think probably that's going to be an issue maybe in parts of the state just because of the really hot, dry conditions that we had early on this year. But as we've gotten into south central Oklahoma now this past week, I was talking to a person who was out in the field yesterday, and he was saying that test weights were running 60.4 pounds on a truckload that he had just hauled in, and he felt like the yields were averaging in the mid-40s. And we're kind of seeing those reports being consistent with what we're seeing in the elevators in the south central part of the state. So we're hoping as we do move on north that that test weight really is not going to be an issue.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the yields overall. The USDA this week came up with their crop production numbers. Pretty well. It was interesting. Of course, the numbers that we got from Oklahoma Grain and Feed Association, the crop districts came up with $164 million. The grain elevator operators that were there and others came up with, about $155 million. And that was almost exactly what USDA came up with their May 1st data.
Yeah, that's USDA numbers, no doubt, at the 154.8, a little lower than what was predicted last week at Oklahoma Grain and Feed Association. And those numbers were $165 million. In looking at that, I thought from the grain and feed numbers that number was maybe just a little bit optimistic in the state. Keep in mind, this past week we've had some significant hail damage in southwest Oklahoma where wheat looked really good down by Granfield. And then up in the northern part of the state, there's some wheat that was laid down by the tornadoes up by Cherokee that then went on up through Medford up on into Ponca City. Looking at that grain and feed number, I thought a little optimistic. Also in the southwest part of the state, the straw strength just hasn't been there this year because we've just had large amounts of rains with high winds, and that really has had, I think, an impact on the crop as well, and we are seeing some lodging down in those regions. No doubt when you drive through all the state, though, I think things still look really good. I think in the far western part of the state where I was this past week, out even by Clinton and Elk City on some of that poor ground where it's extremely thin, some of the wheat out there on just off the interstate just looked beautiful as we were driving through. I mean, I was thinking, we had wheat in the mid-40s, maybe even possibly 50 bushels on some of the dry land, poor land out there. Some extremely good-looking fields. And as we were out in the panhandle this past week for our District 2 election for Tom Stevens, some of the dry land wheat ripening really quick too. Some of it looks really thin, but there is some irrigated wheat out there that does just look absolutely phenomenal. And I think that, that's going to be a real surprise to us too.
The USDA's estimate, 36 bushels, 4.3 million acres. Does that pretty well jive with what you're thinking?
I was thinking somewhere around the 150 to 155 million bushel range is kind of what we were kind of looking at the commission. That's what I was thinking a couple weeks ago. So I feel like that number's right on target with where we need to be. I was a little surprised when they came out with their estimates for Kansas because they came in at 387 million bushels on the USDA estimates. And I only went on the last day of the crop tour for the Kansas wheat tour. But my commissioner, Kenneth Fales from Cherokee, and then our executive secretary in our office, Debbie Wadle, went on that tour, the whole tour. And based on what I was hearing from their reports and then from what I saw on the last day, I thought things looked really, really good in Kansas. They do have disease pressures that they're going to have to contend with. But I just felt like it was a much different situation than what we'd seen in the last 2 years on that tour as well. On the Kansas wheat tour last week, they came in at 403 million bushels is what the estimation was. So I thought that 387 number was maybe a little lower than what I had expected from USDA.
We've got Celecrop now, and that's, of course, one of the things that the Wheat Commission is responsible for. I know you've been working with U.S. Wheat and trying to – and Plains Grains as well. Get obviously, quality information will be getting out and everything. What are you hearing through U.S. Wheat as far as, you know, trying to move this crop successfully?
Well, you know, I think as we were coming in, we probably felt like that test weights are probably going to maybe be a concern for us in this part of the state. But, you know, as we've gotten into the south central part of the state, like I had said earlier, we're hoping that that maybe is not going to be a concern. Protein's always that factor that's out there. We've seen data kind of ranging from all over the board, but we've been seeing a lot of high proteins in this data that's been coming in from this crop so far. I think it's way too early to tell right now what the protein levels are going to be or try to estimate anything on that. But based on some of the numbers that we've seen coming in, I don't know that that's really going to be as much of an issue as what we had thought it might have been like 2 years ago.
Well, let's talk about one of the item of commission business. That's the fact that you alluded to the District 2 commissioner election. This is an annual process that you have to do on a periodic basis. Each of your commissioners have what, 3-year terms?
Five-year terms.
And so when they come up, you have to actually go back out to the country and get nominees. You had to do that this last week in Guymon.
Yes. This past Thursday in Guymon, we did have our District 2 election at 2 p.m. We had 3 candidates that were sent forward. We had a Lewis Long Jr. from Optima, and then a Bill Goodloe from Guymon, Oklahoma, and then also our current board member, Tom Stevens, did run, and then he was a name that was also in the election process that will be submitted to the governor. Those were our top 3 candidates at the election. And so usually those appointments are made by – or they are made by June 30th. So we'll have to be kind of waiting to see what takes place with that. But I think, like, we have 3 good candidates out there, and we're just excited to have that possibility to work with those producers. Had good attendance with our meeting, and, you know, a lot of people were planting corn right now out there. So it's a busy time for year, we know, for producers. They're making those decisions. You know, as far as talking about marketing this large crop, you know, yes, we do have increased acres that are planted, I think up to a tune of 13% for the United States. They're predicting that, you know, estimated bushels, 1.69 million bushels will be what we're going to be taking in for this crop for the U.S. this coming year. Extremely large numbers as well. Looking at that, I think maybe we're going to have, you know, some things that we're going to have to look at on price structures as when wheat starts coming in. But I think it's also going to also depend on what the corn crop does, what we see up north. And I think that there's still going to be a great potential to market this crop.
One last question, Mike, and that has to do with maybe the other thing that a lot of your dollars go toward, and that's research and support of the Wheat Improvement Team at Oklahoma State University. This is something, obviously, you had to really watch your pennies on this last year with the drought, a shortened crop, a few more bushels, a few more dollars available to put back into that research that's led by Dr. Jeff Edwards and, of course, Brett Carver as well.
I think, you know, on the estimations of what we have, that out of that 20% that goes to research, I'm thinking maybe we might even be able to donate more than that towards research at Oklahoma State University, which we always feel is something that is extremely important. It's something that we're really proud of here in Oklahoma. I know I mentioned this before, but when you look at the wheat varieties that are coming out of our public breeding program at Oklahoma State University, on average over the last 5 years, we've been releasing about 2 varieties a year. If you look at the other universities around us through the public breeding program system, they've been averaging about 1 variety every 2 years. So we do feel like, you know, in the last 5 years, if you also look at the wheat variety surveys of the amount of Oklahoma, if you look at the amount of Oklahoma varieties that have been planted, we've seen a large increase in that. And so we feel like we are giving the producers the tools that they need to have options out there at the farm. Many different varieties out there this year. I think it's going to be interesting to see what tops the variety trials when we go through the state. You know, in the past, last 2 years, Duster's been, you know, that variety that producers have used. I think it's a really good wheat that's you know, shown us its strength during drought-tolerant conditions. This year's been a little bit different situation. You know, we're seeing the Billings that's normally used for up north. I think there's potential for it this year just because of the conditions that it might do really well, even in the plots in the southwest part of the state. No doubt we also have the new variety Garrison that's going to be available to producers this coming year. And then we're going to have to watch for the releases of Ruby Lee, Gallagher, and Iba.